Good morning again.
Good morning. You guys sound a little weird. Thank you very much. Because he lives. Great song. Because he lives. That's why we're all here. Because he lives. Well, good morning again. We will be in Mark 6, verses 7 through 13. We continue our study in Mark. And it is Father's Day. I forgot to announce that I have my Father's Day knife in my pocket. I've got my Father's Day socks on for the kids, so got all the important things here with me.
Yeah,
nice Father's Day apron, and we did have a good time with our Father's Day breakfast yesterday morning. It was good. We have some guys who know how to cook in this congregation, so I can point them out to you guys. Also, as we celebrate Father's Day, we will celebrate our Father in Heaven and His Son as we come together to the Lord's table today. We'll talk about this a little more later on, but for now, we do have these pre-filled cups and wafers. They are in your pews, and we'll get to those later on in the service, just to make you aware they are there down in front of you. And
I'm here.
There's none of you? Oh, no, it's on top. So there's a film, and then there's a foil. So we'll get to those in a little bit. Just to make you aware, we are going to the Lord's table together, and it'll be a bit different, but we'll get there together. Happy Father's Day. And as I was looking at this passage and thinking about Father's Day, I'm just thinking about all sorts of things, but I came to a question. Have any of you ever been sent somewhere? That's a pretty general question. Have you ever been sent somewhere? Now, I think about this and think about going to the store. Maybe you've been sent to the store before. If you're a guy like me and you've been sent to the store, you didn't get the list. You got the things that were in your head and not the list in your back pocket. But you were sent to the store. Or maybe you've been sent somewhere for work. You were sent on a business trip. Or you were sent for some seminar or training. You were sent somewhere by someone. Were you prepared when you were sent? I think when we're sent to the store, we have a list. I think if we're sent somewhere for work, they tell us where we're going or what we're doing or what time we need to be aware. There's usually instructions involved with being sent somewhere. Today we'll look at how Jesus sent the disciples. He sent them out with a task, and how we too have been sent with a task. And it's not just to the store or to do something for work. Jesus has sent every one of us. We'll look at it in two parts, and we'll look at it in the empowerment and the instruction that he gives the disciples, and we'll end at the Lord's table together. So Mark 6, 7 through 13. Let's stand as we read God's word together. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and to not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you, and they will not listen to you, when you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this few moments in time that we gather together to lift up your name. And Father, be with us now as we dive into what you have for us in the Bible. Open our minds and our hearts to see what we need to see and to leave this place changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So if you remember last week when we came together, we saw that Jesus was rejected even in his hometown. And that even the family of Jesus were once unbelievers. This showed us that we too will have friends and family that will doubt the gospel. But just like Jesus, we have this hope because the family of Jesus was once lost and then became to believe in the Son of God. And our family can go from unbelief to believers in the same way. We know this because the people in this room have went from no faith to faith. We know it is possible, and we've seen it in the family of Jesus last week. Our last verse said that Jesus left from this area, from his hometown, which they were running him out of, and he left and continued on to other villages in the area. He was not going to let their unbelief hinder his mission on earth. His experiences last week included the disciples. They were with him. They saw his rejection. This would serve them well, as our text this week involves the disciples going from town to town with the gospel message. They too would be rejected, but first, Jesus prepares them for the journey. Let's look at the empowerment. Jesus empowered the disciples. Now, this is the sending out of the 12 into the world to proclaim the good news. This is the sending out that he had been preparing them for ever since he called them. Scripture tells us that where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, he is there with them. We know this post-crucifixion. Jesus is with us when we gather. So he sends them in pairs so they can have each other's back, and so they could be witnesses for one another, but also so they could have God's presence, which he has given to them. This is the task that he has already empowered them for. Now our text tells us that he gave them authority over the unclean spirits, and our last verse says they were healing the sick. Luke says it was authority over demons and to cure diseases. But this is what Matthew says. Matthew 10. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. You see, Jesus tells them that these gifts I have gave to you are to be freely used for others. When did they receive these gifts? Was it as they were leaving Nazareth? Did Jesus turn around and say, here's your power, now go and use it? Well, no. They were sent in our text today, but they were empowered when they were called. We covered it a few weeks ago in Mark 3. He called the 12, they went up on the mountain, and he commissioned them and gave them authority. Since this calling of the 12, we've been shown Jesus casting out demons and healing the sick and calming the storm and even raising the dead. He did all these things, and the disciples were with him every step of the way. Our text today is the point in the ministry where Jesus, when he turns to his disciples and says, now it's your turn. I have given you my authority, and you have watched me use it, and now I have a mission for you. Now, I mentioned yesterday we were here for a Father's Day breakfast, and it went well. My kids love to cook with me. They want to be right there in the action. If there's something to mix or to stir, they are all over it. Now, when we're cooking pancakes, the big thing is the flip. You got to go from one side to the other. They have to do the flip. Now, with all three, I've done the same thing. I've shown them a few times, and then I hand them the spatula. The equal parts of excitement and fear that sets in on their face is something quite to see. They've been cooking with me for a while, and they see me do the very things they will need to do, and now it's their turn. This is where we are with Jesus and the disciples. He's given them the power needed for their mission, and they have witnessed him do the very things they will need to do countless times. And now it's their turn. You think my kids' faces were excited yet fearful? Think about the look on the apostles when they went to heal their first person. when they went to cast out their first demon. It was one thing to witness the miraculous, but now they would be part of the miraculous themselves. Well, what is in this section for us to apply in our lives today? It is Father's Day, and on this day we celebrate the dads and the granddads and the great-granddads in our life. While we celebrate, we need to ask ourselves a question. Are we leading by example? Can those who look up to see us, they look up to us, can they see the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives? This is where the disciples' authority comes from, this Holy Spirit. And it is where ours comes from. The disciples witnessed the miraculous nature of this Spirit, and this same Spirit resides in all who believe. So what are we doing with it? You see, we are always being discipled by those around us, but at some point we cross a line, and we become the ones making disciples. Can those who look up to us see our footsteps in the Bible? See what a Christian walk looks like? Or are we trying to cook pancakes and have never been taught how to flip them? I believe that the fathers in this country were more like the fathers in this room, then our country would look a bit different. If the fathers of this world walked in the footsteps of Jesus and along the way were instructing others to do the same, oh, what a world we would live in.
Amen.
But this isn't the case. What can we do? Well, it starts in this place. The fathers of the families in our communities must be leading their families to church. They must disciple their children. They must disciple others. In our families is where the next generation learns how to love, but it is also where they learn how to hate. This makes discipleship very important. Before any of this can happen, however, they must be believers in Jesus Christ. Paul says, how will they believe if people are not sent with the good news? It starts with us. You want to see a change in our congregation, in our community, in our country? Then we must take the gospel to all. Your children and your grandchildren should be able to look back at your life and see the presence of the Holy Spirit. See the willingness to love others. See your desire for others to hear the gospel. Our God the Father sent His Son to die for us so we could see just how much He loved us and so we could share this love with others. On this Father's Day, we should commit ourselves to leaving a legacy behind for others to follow that drips with the gospel, that is saturated with a desire and a love for Jesus. The change begins here. It begins in this place, and it begins with us. Jesus empowered His disciples for a task, and then He gave them instructions. Jesus instructed the disciples. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke have very similar instructions here, with the added note from Matthew to take the message to the scattered tribes of Israel and to stay away from the Gentiles. This is the same thing that Paul references when he says the message is for all, first the Jew, but the Gentile also. The Jews have been searching for the Messiah for thousands of years, and they were the first to be brought the news of His arrival. What is curious in these instructions is their simplicity. The instructions are really a list of things they could and could not have, followed by instructions on how to interact with the people. First, let's look at the list. No bread, no bag, and no money. You can have a staff and sandals for walking, but but not an extra tunic. Do we know what a tunic is? The Greek word used here is one for an undergarment. If you have a newer translation, it may say something like a shirt, but it's a shirt worn under the clothes and close to the skin. So Jesus sends them out and tells them to take nothing but the minimum needed, including no extra underwear. Why? Well, for a couple of reasons. The first being that these were not intended to be extended stays, but quick journeys, taking their teaching and their healing ministry with them. The second is the fact that even in this first century, there were false prophets and others taking advantage of people. They would travel around with things like empty bags so they could beg for money for their ministry, or they would travel around with money showing people they could be prosperous like they were. So Jesus says, you will not be a beggar and you will not be a prosperity preacher because you're taking nothing but the Spirit of God with you. It would have symbolized coming in peace, and it would have forced the disciples to depend on those who they share their message with. This reminds me of us going literally anywhere as a family. To someone's house or to the store or on vacation, the destination does not really matter when it comes to my children packing things. No matter if we're gone for 5 minutes or 5 days, they need everything in their room. Absolutely everything. Have to be prepared, right? You never know when you're going to need that seventh stuffed animal. Can you imagine the disciples going on their first mission on their own and what was going through their minds? You know they wanted to take a few more things than sandals and a walking stick. Jesus says to them that they have no need for extra things. And he tells them what's going to happen. He says, take the minimum and stay in the first place that will have you the whole time you're in that area. He also says something important about those areas that do not want them around. He says, when you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. There are two parts in the statement. One is the dust on your feet reference. This is a reference to what the Jewish community, those who have faith in God, were to do when they left an area considered to be Gentile, those who did not have faith in God. They were to dust off their feet as a sign that they just left an area of unbelief. This is what the disciples are told to do. If they don't believe in what you're telling them or what you're showing them, then dust off your feet, for they are unbelievers. Not only this, but Matthew adds that it would be better to be in Sodom or Gomorrah, biblical places which we know were destroyed by God because of their wickedness. It would be better to be there than it will be to be in these unbelieving towns. Now, this is a reference to the judgment of God to come. Believers are with God for eternity in heaven, and unbelievers will be separated from God in eternity in hell. So dust your feet off when you leave, and their fate is destruction and despair. Secondly, he adds, when you leave. This means that the disciples actually have to go there. They didn't get to choose only the places they thought they would be received well. They went to all places and spent time in all places, and then and only then can they know if there is belief or unbelief in this area. They could not shake off the dust from their feet from a place that they had never been. It just can't happen. To have dust on your feet means that you were there. Now, what does this mean for us? We just said that our jobs as fathers, since it's Father's Day, but also as all believers, our job is to disciple others with the good news of Jesus Christ and with the Christian way of life. This is our job as believers. We tell others to read this book and follow our lead. Then our section says here, keep it simple and spread it to everyone. Well, first, what do we mean by keep it simple? Well, we're not teaching master's classes in biblical theology. We are sharing the love of God with others. So keep it simple means love others and care for others and meet the needs of others. These things, all by themselves, share the message of God. But we also have to share an actual message about Jesus. Can we do this simply? Well, yes. How? We all have a story. All Christians have moved from unbelief to belief. Share your story of how the gospel changed you. It is that simple. We also share some truths from the Bible that we encounter along the way. Things like all are sinners deserving punishment from God, but Jesus never sinned. No one can make the payment to get out of this punishment that we all deserve, but Jesus paid it for us. The death of Jesus on the cross paid the price, and the resurrection of Jesus assures us that this payment was made by the Son of God. Belief in this man named Jesus, that he is the Son of God who did these things for you, means your eternity will be lived out in heaven. All who believe in Jesus as the Son of God have their sins washed away clean. This is the gospel message. It then shows us that we must spread this message to everyone. This is the message we should carry as Christians to everyone we meet. We keep it simple, we keep it caring, but we must keep sharing. Our text today leaves no room for you to choose who hears the gospel. The people who live with you need this message. The people you work with need this message. The people you live around need this message. If we withhold this message from others, then it's like we're dusting off our feet before they even get dirty. We must share the message that once changed our lives so that it can change the lives of others. In our text today, we looked at Jesus sending out the 12 on their mission to reach others. He sent them out with authority, the same authority that you and I have living inside of us. He sends them with authority and has them keep it simple and has them share it with everyone. This should be our goal as well, to leave this place with the authority of Christ and be committed to keeping our message simple and caring and share it with everyone. Jesus sent disciples and he has sent all believers. All believers. Where has he sent you? Now to the fathers in attendance or viewing this at home. Your task is also straightforward. You are called to lead your family as you follow Jesus. Your house needs prayer, and your house needs the Bible, and your house needs you to lead the way. First, you must be following Jesus. Make no mistake, you are leading your family on a journey, and the destination is in your hands. Supply the gospel message and the Christian witness, and God will take care of the rest. As we close today, we're going to do so by coming to the Lord's table together. I can think of no better way to celebrate this Father's Day than to do so by remembering God the Father and His only Son and the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Let this table serve both as a reminder of this sacrifice and a reminder that we need to be doing, as believers, what Scripture says to do. We spread the message so everyone else can understand this sacrifice. Now we'll do this a bit different today, because we won't be passing around the traditional plates. Everyone should have a cup in front of you or behind you. We have extra ones. I think I put four, so we might need one back here for a fifth. Everyone should have a cup. You can go ahead and start trying to open it. There's a plastic film for the wafer, and then the metal film for the juice. And we can have someone come and help you if you're having difficulty. We know the Bible says that partaking in the cup and the bread in an unworthy manner should not be done. So if you're not a baptized believer in Christ, or if you have some other ongoing sin issue in your life that you're currently dealing with, we just simply ask you to not take with us at this time. There will be no judgment from us, and only you can make this decision. Has everyone gotten into their cups? Good? Let's start with the bread. Everyone got into the bread? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this table. We thank you that it serves as a reminder of what you came and did for us. Father, be with us now. Cleanse our heart of iniquities and help us focus on your holy name as we take this bread together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Paul speaks of the Last Supper when Jesus came with his disciples in 1 Corinthians in this way, 11 verse 23. For I have received from the Lord, which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment again, and we thank you that this bread serves as a reminder that you were broken. Your sacrifice was real. And your sacrifice makes it where we can come to the Father knowing that you paid the price. The same with the blood as you took the cup. Your body was broken and your blood was spilled for us. As we take of this bread and we drink of this cup, help us to remember what you've done for us. And help us to be ministers of the gospel to others who need this truth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Paul continues, verse 25. In the same manner he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take a drink. we close now with a song, please think about what the sacrifice of Jesus truly meant and what He has called us to do. If you need to talk about your faith, or if you have any other prayer concerns on your heart, you can come during this time as we sing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day again. We thank You for a day remembering our fathers. Father, we thank You for this time together during this service, that we can come into Your Word and see what it has for us and apply it to our lives, and that we can search ourselves for what You have for us to do. Father, we thank You for the table. We thank You for the bread and the cup as they serve as reminders of what Jesus has truly done for us, sacrificing Himself so we may truly live. Father, help us as we leave this place to be assured of our salvation, and if not, help us reach out to get this assurance. And help us to leave this place determined to spread Your word.